RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be confused with medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Good evening, everyone. And welcome back to a very exciting episode of Red Pill News Live. Thank you very much for joining us today. Sincerely appreciate you guys hanging out with us this evening. Don't forget, tomorrow, all day, I'm going to be at the premiere of General Flynn's documentary. I'm going to be streaming the event live. I will be the only media on site. That means that I will be getting interviews with every single person who's coming, as many as I can handle. And you can expect to see a lot of behind-the-scenes footage. I'm super stoked, very excited. If you're going to be in Venice tomorrow, then make sure you guys come up and speak with me. Come say hi. I'll get you an interview, too. We'll ask you what you think is happening in America, how you feel about the movie, how you feel about President Trump, how you feel about everything. I can't wait to talk to you guys. So if you have not yet, do me a favor. Please hit the like button. If you're watching on Rumble, just right there. It's below the video window. You just click that like. If you're watching on Roku or you're watching on Apple TV even, I mean, you can hit the like button anywhere. Because when you hit that like button, you let not only Rumble, but also the entirety of Rumble's user base know that this is a show worth watching. Sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn. We're going to be right back after this. Warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. Citibank warned, the soft landing dream is over. The U.S. economy is headed for a recession in the middle of 2024. Morgan Stanley warns, a U.S. dollar regime shift could threaten stocks. And meanwhile, the Fed's most trusted recession indicator is flashing code red. Because every recession since 1945 has been preceded by a yield curve inversion. Meanwhile, the M2 money supply is meaningfully contracting for only the fifth time since 1870. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs, and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold. So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots Protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee for Life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that no fee for life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us today. Appreciate you hanging out with us. We've got a lot to discuss. First of all, let me say thank you so much to Lou Ann V. Lou Ann, it's always good to see you out there over there on Pilled. Thank you for the shades. Thick Ray dropping a fleet. You guys starting it strong over there. Thank you so much for the support. She says, you only wait to travel back home. Wait, your only way to travel back home is 706-346, a university pen. God bless you, Zach. You're the best. I am going to need you to decode that, but I know you love the show, and I know that you listen to it on the way home, so thank you very much. Thank you to PeeQuest for that cookie. Also, Thick Ray says, if no one got that, it's East 76 Philadelphia Expressway. Okay, now I get it. Now I get it. Also, Ohio Kimmy, thank you very much for the cookie. Appreciate you. Let me see. I also need to say thank you very much over here on Rumble to Lukester777. He says, that's incredible, Zach. Congrats and very excited for you, brother. I am super excited, too. Thank you very, very much. Yeah, I can't wait to get to a chance to meet everybody in person. And I'm sure there's going to be lots of people I already know, but undoubtedly there will be people that I never in my wildest dreams thought that I was going to be able to meet. More than anything, I'm excited to watch the movie. Let me also just remind everybody that if you have not yet, there is still time to get tickets to the Winter Haven premiere, which is on Saturday. The Venice show on Friday is sold out, so you can still buy tickets to the Winter Haven event. I'm going to drop that into the chats here. Now, also, if you do want to order the DVD, if you want to have a copy of it to own at home, clearly you're going to be supporting General Flynn and the filmmakers. But if you order it early, get the pre-order version, you're also going to receive like over an hour of bonus footage that's not going to be there if you order it at a later date. I've got mine. It's already on the way. Actually, I've ordered it, but the actual shipment date, I want to say, is April 9th. So as long as you order before April 9th, then you'll be among those people to get that special edition. So definitely check it out. I am so excited. You guys, Lisa and I have been running around here. Well, I mean, I guess maybe I've been running around here like a chicken with my head cut off. And that's very appropriate for the first show. But let me go ahead and take you right into it. Also, let me also say, I broke a tooth yesterday, guys, so my tongue is not moving as quickly as it normally would, because I've got like this really sharp molar in the back that's brushing up against the back and the side of my tongue. So it's kind of painful, but obviously I have to work. So kind of just have to suffer through it. I'm hoping that I can get into the dentist office next week and get this either filed down, or I don't know that they're going to be able to fill it with anything because it's a sizable chunk of my molar. I'm hoping I don't lose it, to be quite honest with you, because that's where I chew everything. All right. So we were speaking yesterday, I believe, about the onset of bird flu. Mm. The bird flu, of course, H1N1, they think they have H5N1. They got a whole bunch of different H something and whatever. And the first person to have contracted it as a result of coming into contact with bovine species, cows, if you will, the cow supposedly got it from a bird, and then the guy got it from the cow. No word on exactly how that transmission actually worked out. I don't know if he just, you know, happened to be around them. Maybe he got sneezed on by a cow. But, I was speculating, and I think that it's not too far off to think that perhaps the deep state would use bird flu as that next great pandemic. It's also interesting to note that the bird flu suddenly has just reared its ugly head, and now it's infected regular people. And we've also just gotten that warning about the mass die-offs that are likely to happen as a result of people taking multiple clot shot injections. Again, if you are one of those people who took a single dose of vaccine, or maybe you took the first one and the second one, maybe you also got a booster and then you heard this show or you heard somebody else's show and you started to realize that, gosh, this is probably a bad idea. I don't know what I'm doing. Honey, are you bringing that coffee? I want you to remember that this is not a death sentence necessarily. There are things you can do to take care of yourself. We'll talk about a couple of them specifically later on, but antivirals were mentioned by that very, very astute and world-famous virologist, the doctor who raised the alarm bells about this. You might want to get yourself some antivirals to have on hand and begin to take prophylactically. Obviously, ivermectin. Ivermectin is a really easy one, very cheap. You can get it from so many different locations. And I would say that that's an easy way to start right there. Very, very simple. But it seems very coincidental to me that the bird flu is suddenly hitting the scene. We also have word of these mass die-offs that are likely to happen. And does anybody think that the deep state wouldn't use one to obfuscate the other? Suggest that people are dropping dead at an alarming rate? Say it's from the bird flu, when actuality it's from the clot shot flu. It's because the immune systems of the people who got multiple shots are simply not working at full capacity. They're saying that the bird flu could potentially be 100 times worse than what they gave us with COVID-19. So people are definitely considering that this may be something to be worried about. But the alarm ended up being raised as a number of reports began to emerge of this virus being found in multiple species. I guess they have found it in more than just birds and cats. It's also been, birds and cows. It's also been found, obviously, in humans, but also in cats. I would assume that would be from a cat catching a bird that had the bird flu. In March of this year, testing for influenza was conducted on a number of different animals in both Texas and in Kansas because there were signs and symptoms of this bird flu being among them. This included wild animals like birds, also cats, dairy cows. Some of those tests have returned positive for avian influenza, which is the H5N1. And again, this marks the very first time that it's been detected in cattle within the United States. So the Texas Department of State Health Services has officially issued a health alert because they've now confirmed the first human case from that novel influenza. The patient became ill following contact with dairy cows presumed to be infected with avian influenza. The patient's primary symptom was conjunctivitis. Again, that is pink eye. If that's the worst that happens, then I'm really not that worried about it. But this is the second case of H5N1 identified in a person in the U.S., and it's believed to be associated with those dairy cows. So in a recent briefing, scientists were discussing this highlighted risk of the bird flu strain that they're discussing. And of course, their main warning was that it could turn into a pandemic. Personally, again, I am not overly concerned. I'm not going to touch any dead birds. I'm going to continue my daily regimen of supplements and a variety of different prophylactic measures to ensure that I don't get sick. But this meeting was attended by leading bird flu researchers. Never forget, thank you, honey, bird flu researchers have a vested interest in maintaining attention on the bird flu. So if bird flu pandemics are being talked about, well, that's basically job security for these people. Also, it's going to allow them to test it. It's going to allow them to kind of track and then write papers, maybe even write a book at some point. So always keep in mind the financial incentives these people have to sort of keep this in the front of your mind. I think that everybody can agree that sickness is around us at all times. If your immune system is healthy, if your immune system is sound, if you're also staying away from obvious vectors of disease, then you're probably not going to have a lot to worry about. But their warning is that this appears to be 100 times worse than COVID. How do they know that? Can anybody tell me that? If we've only got two cases, and one of those cases is a guy with pink eye, no deaths, no hospitalizations, we've got a case of pink eye, and they're already telling us that it's 100 times worse than COVID. Well, pardon my indignation, but I don't exactly take that as a serious warning at this point. They continued by saying that, or if it could be, if it mutates and maintains its high case fatality rate. So when they say it's 100 times worse than COVID, what they're actually talking about is a hypothetical that hasn't actually taken place yet. But they say once it's mutated to infect humans, we could only hope the fatality rate drops. Well, of course, that's everyone's hope. We don't want people dying. We don't want people getting sick. But nobody, and I mean nobody, is going to convince me to shut down the entire country like we did previously. No one is going to convince me that 100 times more people are going to drop dead as a result of bird flu. I truly do believe that we are looking at two different parallel events that are going to inevitably cross their streams only because the powers that be are going to create the problem. Okay? We've got bird flu. Some people get it. We've got weakened immune systems from the COVID-19 clot shot jabs. And boom, they come together in the center. Those people with the jabs, if they get bird flu, they might die. Okay? They might get sick. It might be a bad deal. But we are inevitably going to have those people who are immune compromised that will probably end up dying from something even far more innocuous. So all I'm saying is do not allow them to scare you into giving up your freedoms once more. Do not allow them to dictate the terms of your life. And anytime the authorities come to you and say, it's for your health, don't believe a damn word of it, whatever they say. You know, the doctor yesterday had said that we're going to have to rebuild the nation. We're going to have to rebuild the world. And we've talked about that as a possibility before. We've talked about the need, frankly, to rebuild the world. How do you remake the world? How do you change things when the very structures of that support system are corrupt themselves? Well, as in the case of a damaged building, perhaps a home that has been damaged by a tornado, sometimes you just have to tear it down. So all I'm saying now is be prepared for whatever may be coming. But remember, God's got this, and you're going to be fine. No matter what happens, you, my friends, will be fine. Susan says, get some dental wax for the broken tooth. It's sold for people with braces. You can get it at any drugstore. Okay, that's a good tip. I didn't even know they made that. Yeah, Eliza Jane says, I'm more worried about tuberculosis. Yeah, I mean, definitely nobody wants tuberculosis. Tuberculosis is real. These illegals that have come to the United States, they've got tuberculosis. They are having TB outbreaks at these migrant detention centers or the homeless shelters where they're being housed. So that certainly is a real thing to be worried about. Jim Kyle says, my lefty sister-in-law has pink eye and had the clot shot. Ooh. Pink eye is awful. I hated having pink eye. Yeah, Rocket Savvy 96, you got it right. Chlorine dioxide can be used for infections. Chlorine dioxide is antibacterial, antimicrobial, antiviral. It works for a lot of things. You know, I mean, just since we are on the topic, I might as well just mention that you can head on over to onenessdrops.com. And when you go to onenessdrops.com, you can use code RP78 to save 15% off your order of chlorine dioxide water purification kits right here. Chlorine dioxide water purification kits. Get those chlorine dioxide water purification kits. Use code RP78, save 15% off. It's good for cleaning water. It's good for antibacterial needs, antimicrobial needs, antiviral needs. There is a lot of information about it on the internet. And we've had people here in the chat who have had their cancers cured as a result of using it. Not medical advice, but definitely something that I recommend people go ahead and check out. Do your own research on it. All right, so here's a bit of bad news for Big Daddy Nathan Wade. Fannie Willis's personal butter spreader. He has now gotten in trouble once again with his soon-to-be ex-wife. And it turns out Nathan Wade is not paying his way. Maybe it's because he lost that money ticket from the citizens of Fulton County. Well, let's go ahead and dive in and see exactly what's going on. It would appear that Nathan Wade has been accused of not paying his child support, and he has neglected to pay his estranged wife's medical bills. How do we know this? Well, his ex-wife said it. Well, his separated, soon-to-be ex-wife said it. This is according to an application for citation of contempt She submitted it early yesterday. Now, last month, after Nathan Wade was forced to resign from the Trump election case, after Fulton County Judge Scott McAfee gave attorney Fannie Willis an ultimatum, it's either you or him. This is now coming in response to allegations, obviously, that Ms. Willis and Mr. Wade engaged in that clandestine relationship. I think that most people have looked at the evidence. They've made up their mind that both Nathan Wade and Fannie Willis lied. I think Fannie Willis should be brought up on perjury charges. I think Fannie Willis should be brought up on witness tampering and intimidation charges. From what I understand, she directly tried to influence the testimony of at least one witness in that case. It can't be true that Nathan Wade lied and Fannie Willis told the truth, because they both told the same story. And if Judge Scott McAfee found that Nathan Wade was not believable as a witness, then one thing follows the other. B comes after A. Fannie Willis lied. Nathan Wade lied. They're both liars. They don't deserve to continue on with this case. Nathan Wade getting booted off that case should have also resulted in Fannie Willis having to recuse herself from that case and ultimately having those charges dropped altogether. Jocelyn Wade, the now separated wife of Nathan Wade, has accused him of failing to pay child support. We're talking about more than $4,000 that he is also on the hook for an urgent medical procedure. Maybe Nathan Wade is hoping that his wife is not going to make it through this medical procedure, and that's why he doesn't want to pay it. It's been submitted to the judge in Cobb County, Georgia, who was overseeing their divorce. So the defendant urgently requires medical procedures, namely an endoscopy, colonoscopy, and ultrasound due to severe physical symptoms she has been enduring. These symptoms have significantly impacted her ability to consume most foods, leading to substantial weight loss. Wow, that sounds like it's a pretty serious thing going on. It's also worth mentioning that among younger jabbed people, there has been an explosion in colorectal cancer. Now, that may be due to people just eating poison all of the time, ingesting all sorts of carcinogenic substances, but it also could be due to the actual clot shot itself. I hope that for Mrs. Wade's sake, she hasn't been jabbed, and I hope that she also doesn't have colon cancer. But this could probably be a couple of other things, too. But obviously, you want to rule out the worst possible scenario first off the bat. According to her filing, her medical condition is getting worse, and she may be in need of emergency intervention. It's going to be sooner or later. Now, the reason why those medical bills are so important to Ms. Wade is that Mr. Wade allegedly stopped paying his child support for their two children, which has clearly put a financial strain on Mrs. Wade. If she can't work, if she's not receiving the child support that Nathan Wade agreed to pay her, and he's not paying her medical bills as she and he agreed upon, well, then that's going to significantly reduce her ability to continue to maintain a household. Glenn MS says, "Hi, Zach. You can relate to the guys on Badlands that if they are getting to play unpilled, they should look at that chat unpilled. The AM guys never look. Thanks." Okay, I will say something, but yes, they are, and I guess I don't know why they're not looking at it, but that sucks. Yes, I see that PQuest says it. Oh, fuck! Oh! I can't believe that just happened. Oh! Honey, I need a towel. God dang it. This is bad. This is real bad. Honey! Oh, God. Oh. I'm going to have to cut this out. Oh, God. Oh, God. Well, I'm just going to... I'm going to have to throw a video on or something, guys, so that I can go change my pants. Oh, God. How did that happen? I have this I have this edge on the desk, which is, it's not flat. And if I don't put the cup on the table far enough, then it slides right off. Oh, hold on. I'm going to use this for my body. Would you go get me a pair of pants, honey? I'm not going to change on the air. I'm just going to walk off camera. Oh, God. All right. Well, anyways. So the sudden cessation of child support, Miss Wade says. Yeah, Coffeegate. God, I'm glad it wasn't that. I'm not injured. It was not super hot. It was hot enough. It was definitely hot enough. I got it all over my shirt. My God. Anyways, Nathan Wade just like dropped his wife like a hot stone. He stopped paying her child support. She has an income of less than $1,000 a month. She's taking care of the two minor children. They have another daughter who's already in college. And I'm sure that somebody's, yeah, just drop them right there, babe. I'll just step off camera. In this latest divorce filing, she said that the court doesn't have jurisdiction over their young adult children, but added that she lacks the financial means to cover this medical procedure. So the expenses also include payments that Mr. Wade allegedly had promised his soon-to-be ex-wife, and he promised his children as well. It's also claimed that he told his son he would send money to him in Europe, where he is currently pursuing a career as a professional soccer player. He's also supposed to be paying his daughter's rent, but he stopped paying that as well. So demonstrating defendant's unwavering commitment to her children's education and future, she promptly covered her daughter's rent payment, and she's continued to do so every month thereafter with the money she receives in spousal support that was awarded under that temporary order and agreement. So Mr. Wade has not yet responded. Clearly, I don't think that he wants to continue paying for his soon-to-be ex-wife after he got the money cut off from the people of Fulton County. He's probably trying to figure out how he's going to make all that money up. He's going to have to start taking clients again, if anything else. But it turns out that this is a seemingly a habit for Nathan Wade. In a December 2023 court filing, Mr. Wade's attorney had denied any prior allegations that were made by Ms. Wade. It said that he provided her with the means of financial support and continues to provide financial support. So he denied any of the stuff that she claimed about his having a relationship with Fannie Willis, but it's already been shown, unfortunately for him, that's not true. Now, even though he is no longer involved in the Trump case, these new allegations could put further strain on Fannie Willis's case against Donald Trump and the co-defendants. In the last order from Judge Scott McAfee, he noted that some of the claims against Ms. Willis and Mr. Wade are unresolved and added that an odor of mendacity remains in the prosecution. Now, when he resigned after Judge McAfee's order, Nathan Wade wrote that President Trump and other co-defendants who made accusations against him failed to meet the burden in proving that there was a conflict of interest on the case. He also said that they alleged Ms. Willis and Mr. Wade had financially benefited from that arrangement and that he took her on lavish vacations. But, of course, they denied both of those things. I would say that Fannie Willis paying Nathan Wade also allowed him to continue paying his wife $4,000 a month in spousal support, $4,000 for the medical fees. We don't even know how much he's paying for the spousal support. But he offered his resignation in the interest of democracy. I thought that, you know, that right there is the air of mendacity. I'm sure that the case and the team will be in good hands moving forward and justice will be served. Nathan Wade, the only way justice will be served is if all of the charges against Donald Trump and these 18 defendants are dropped. Now, Mr. Trump, President Trump and his attorneys have actually appealed the ruling from Judge McAfee, which allowed Fannie Willis to stay on the case. Their argument, of course, is that the judge was wrong to not disqualify both of them. President Trump's attorney said providing D.A. Willis with the option to simply remove Nathan Wade confounds logic, and it's contrary to Georgia law, which it is. We've gone over this case on so many different occasions. Fannie Willis must be removed, and there are still opportunities for that to happen. I now believe that probably the most likely way that that'll happen is through the Georgia State Senate. Mr. Wade's disqualification is the minimum that must be done to remove the stain of her legally improper and plainly unethical conduct from the remainder of the case. So Nathan Wade is definitely in a bit of a hot seat as a result of his continued efforts to live a deceitful life. All right, so let me real quickly throw on a little video or something so that I can change my clothes, guys, because now it went from hot to kind of cold. So we're going to pull up a song. Let me see if I can find a Trump-centric song, and we'll put that on for you, and I'll be right back. Let's see. Ah, here's Donald Trump singing God Bless the USA. Hold on, let me go to the... There we go.
Trump the Don, back at it again. This time in a country rap song. Shout out High Res. God bless the USA. Stop sending billions to Ukraine. Put America first for a change. When they fail, I'm the one that they blame. I only ran for president 'cause I had one thing on my mind. To make the country better than it's ever been, but you got Biden's lies. And if you love the country, then we're on the same side. I got love for America, I got American pride. They tried to kick me out the White House, next year that's my house. Fafo, around and find out. Trump 2024, all the communists, they will cry now. No more fake news selling lies now. CNN stands for the Clinton News Network. I'm the only president to leave with a lower net worth. Biden took office, oh boy, did it get worse. I guess that means that I was better than my successor. I only ran for president 'cause I had one thing on my mind. To make the country better than it's ever been, but you got Biden's lies. And if you love the country, then we're on the same side. I got love for America, I got American pride.
I've been selling all right,
I'm back.
Working all day.
Okay.
Overtime.
All right, guys, I'm back. Oh, God. Okay, thank you for your patience, everyone. And also, let me give a couple of thank yous over here. Beginning with Q Patriot Angel says, he does it live. That's right. That's right. Esther G says, you may earn extra chips if you change on air, Zach. I very well may have, but I don't know how Lisa would feel about that. Penny Whitbread says, here's a tip. Now you must have Lisa hold up a towel while you try to change your pants behind the towel while on camera. Fun game. Yes, definitely. And then Susan Boosin also says a little something towards a rubber-backed coaster. Yeah, you know, here's the thing. It's like a shallow desk so that I can get close to the screens and the camera so I can see everything. I just tend to get carried away. I'm talking, I'm just blah, 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 and then I just don't look where I'm going. Bearable says, Zach, you are a trooper. Well, thank you very, very much. I appreciate you. Juan Rambo, good to see you, buddy, dropping a cookie. Brewbark says, bird flu scare coinciding with upcoming WHO treaty signing. That's actually a very good point as well. Lou Ann V dropped another fleet. Thank you, Lou Ann. She says something towards a dental bill. I really appreciate it. Let's see. Tomcat, thank you for the cookie. Juan Morting says, here's a pair of shades towards a new pair of pants. Thank you. Omazon said, absorbing can, LOL. Asty Ball says, here's a cookie to go with the coffees. Mighty Patriot, thank you for the phone. Thick Ray says, I love you, man. You're killing me. Thank you. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. Good Dog says, great show, Zach. Sean Joe dropped some shades and Sean Joe dropped a can. I appreciate all of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So let's see. What are we talking about next? I've got to get it pulled up here on screen. Ah, let's take a look. So, after the debacle that was the Trans Day of Visibility, and it's still a little wet under here, so I'm trying to get the towel under my feet. The Trans Day of Visibility. Joe Biden, the weekend warrior Catholic, the fake Christian Joe Biden. He and his team are running attack ads going after President Trump, suggesting that his faith isn't bound or based in anything real. That's right, guys. Joe Biden, the pious Joseph Robinette Biden III, he's the real candidate for God, country, and family. Not Donald Trump. No, Donald Trump doesn't know anything about God. It's all Joe Biden. So the Transgender Day of Visibility thing has really backfired on Joe Biden. I'm sure you'll remember that he came out and said that we had to recognize trans people that day. I mean, trans people are the most important people in America. It's not like every single day of the week isn't already Trans Visibility Day. But they are complaining that extremists are working to keep pornographic books out of the hands of our children. They are complaining that we're not willing to allow our kids to be groomed by cross-dressers coming into the schools, reading books about that pornographic stuff, and making kids believe that it is somehow virtuous to get fake boobs, strut around on stage, and solicit tips from minors. It's simply not true. Obviously, it's totally inappropriate. So Joe Biden has in now, as a result of being attacked for pushing this agenda on people, on children, they have continued to double down on that trans agenda. But they're also running these ads going after President Trump, suggesting that Donald Trump is not a man of faith. So let's go ahead and take a look.
The nonprofit organization Faith Forward, a group that says it is dedicated to bringing people of faith together to new ad.
On the sixth day, God made all of us. God said we need leaders who can unite rather than divide, who stand on morals and values, and who don't idolize dictators and bullies. God said I need someone to protect consumers and farmers from corporate greed, workers from wage theft, students from crushing debt, homeowners from discriminatory lending, seniors from overpriced medicine, and loved ones from gun violence. God said, I need someone with arms strong enough to protect the planet, strong enough to fight monstrous evils spreading across the globe. God said, I need someone willing to give their whole life in service. And so President Biden answered the call. God made us all. Together, we make our democracy strong. Thank God we chose a faithful president who doesn't worship himself nor undermine the Constitution he swore to uphold. For such a time as this, we pray to God what is true in our hearts. Four more years.
Oh, my God.
Claire McCaskill.
Disgusting. What a disgusting perversion of what America wants. These people wouldn't know what Americans wanted if it fell out of the sky and smacked them in the face. Americans want freedom. They want their liberty maintained. They want to live unencumbered from the actions of a tyrannical government. They want to be able to survive merely on a single salary. They want to be able to provide a world that is safe and secure for their children. So far, every single thing that I have mentioned, and there are many more things that Americans would prefer over and above Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., Joe Biden is the exact antithesis of those things. Joe Biden has ushered in the most insecure time in American history. Gas prices are at an all-time high. Food prices are at an all-time high. The dollar store now has items at $7 a piece. We're talking about inflation in real time of hundreds of percentage points. So for those people to say that stuff to us, to pretend that Donald Trump is somehow some sort of narcissistic monster. Joe Biden cannot walk into a room, watch someone stub their toe before telling them, I understand my son Beau is dead. He walks up to people who are hurting. He walks up to people who have experienced real loss because of his decisions, because of the things that he and his regime have done. And he brings up his own pain. He brings up his own experiences. Joe Biden sees the entire world through the lens of his criminal organization. This world, to Joe Biden, exists for one thing and one thing only. And that is to enrich his criminal family. That is it. That's the only thing that Joe Biden does. Donald Trump is the candidate if you are a person of faith. Donald Trump has brought God back to America. Donald Trump has restored the faith of so many people who thought that this country was lost, that it was over, it was done with. There was no way we were going to get it back. Donald Trump inspired us to get involved and to be a part of this process and to stand up and say, not today, Satan. And as far as I'm concerned, Satan looks a lot like Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. Fred Awakening says you keep having these beverage malfunctions. Meanwhile, the sippy cup I got you for Christmas is gathering dust. Mohap. Thank you. Let's see. Jim Kyle also says, I bet this loon really believes he's the best for America and President Trump will bring America to ruins. You know, it's difficult, I think, for any person with sanity to try to rationalize how that could be true. But, you know, I struggle with this question myself. You know, I mean, Joe Biden didn't have anything to do with the making of that ad, but I'm sure that his team reached out to Faith Forward and said, hey, we need something that says God is on Joe Biden's side because we just stepped in a big old pile of dog shit with this Trans Visibility Day stuff. We need to make sure that people understand that Joe Biden is the only choice going forward. Otherwise, Donald Trump, he might lower gas prices. We can't have that. Then people aren't going to want to buy electric vehicles. Donald Trump might bring employment back to America. Oh, we can't have that. Otherwise, people might be able to take care of their families. Donald Trump is maybe going to make abortions more difficult to get. Oh, we can't have that. We got to have babies to sacrifice on a regular basis. We got to sacrifice those chickens to Moloch. So I think that for what Joe Biden is, I think that he and his team think that he is what America needs. And what America needs to them is total destruction. He believes, they believe, that the America that we have lived in and that we are trying to restore is not the America that we need going forward. They want a one-world government. They want total fealty to diversity, equity, and inclusion. They want America to be a third-world nation, and they want to rule over the ruins of this once great nation. So, yes, I think you're right. They do believe that this is what America needs. USN Mustang says, thank you for your valuable service to we the people, Zach. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you also to Liberty Bells over on Pilled for dropping that cookie. So my point in bringing all of this up is that the propaganda doesn't work, okay? They've lost the narrative. They have lost the ability to program their messaging into the American people. Yes, there is that 20% or so of people who simply just don't see the world as it truly is or believe that despite how difficult it is to survive in America today, they have to continue on with this mission, turning America into a communist nation. But all of the polls are saying differently. A new Wall Street Journal poll, the liberal rag, the Wall Street Journal, they show that Donald Trump is leading Joe Biden in 6 out of 7 swing states. And those swing states are obviously very, very important because you have the states that are solidly blue. You have the states that are solidly red. And then you have those middle of the road states where you kind of have a mixture of both. And if we can get all of those states for Donald Trump, then it's impossible for Joe Biden to hit that 270 number that they were able to steal last time. So Donald Trump is leading Joe Biden in 6 out of these 7 swing states, but it's worse for him than that. It's by a wide margin because voters are looking at this field and they see President Trump as more mentally fit for the job. You can have polls with a grain of salt. I know that they're often unreliable, but what I always love to remind people is that these polls are being oversampled for Democrats. And with that knowledge, when they still come back with results that show Donald Trump is leading Joe Biden among all of these categories, it's obvious that it's even better than their reporting. President Trump has been steadily gaining ground. He's been ahead for a long time, but his lead continues to widen over and above the dementia patient resident Joe Biden. He's leading in six battleground states. Trump has garnered a lead between 2 and 8 percentage points among voters in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, and North Carolina. And that's on a ballot that includes a third party or an independent candidate. And the other thing is, if it has no independent candidate, the results are very similar. In Wisconsin, you've got a seventh state where the contest is expected to be close. But as we just saw from Joe Biden's performance in the primary, close to 50,000 people chose not to vote for Joe Biden. Dean Phillips got 17,000 votes. My goodness, I had never heard of Dean Phillips before the primary season started. The man already dropped out, and yet those 17,000 people still voted for anyone other than Joe Biden, a candidate they knew had no possible way of winning the election. And then another 20,000 on top of that voted unaffiliated. That 20,000 unaffiliated, that was enough to match Joe Biden's margin of victory in 2020, even though that margin of victory was probably largely fabricated because of the presence of CTCL, Eric, the drop boxes, and all of the George Soros-led manipulation inside that state. So in Wisconsin, Trump is viewed by largely the people who live there, not only as the stronger candidate, but the stronger candidate with a better physical and mental fitness for the job. 48% of respondents said Donald Trump is both physically and mentally fit. 28% believe that Joe Biden is physically and mentally fit to serve. These are really good numbers, guys, but it gets even better because this trend continues across the liberal media landscape. Jim Kyle says, why isn't anyone talking about an EMP that will bring us back to the Stone Age with no electricity? Nothing will work, but they want EVs, really. Yeah, definitely. This is something we've talked about here on the show before. It's pretty ridiculous to think that they have completely neglected our electric grid, not only from protection, but also from just bulking it up and modernizing it. And yet they want us to have electric vehicles. What that should tell you, Jim, is that they're not really interested in having Americans drive electric vehicles. They don't care if you have a car at all. In fact, it'll be better for them if you don't have a car, you have no means of transportation, and there's no way for you to go out and buy a cheap gasoline-powered vehicle. They want you to be destitute. They want you to be living in poverty. Likely, they want to replace your job with an artificial general intelligence or with an autonomous robot or something like that. But for EMPs, these are things that you should truly have some knowledge of and be prepared for. We do have an EMP sponsor for the program, and that is EMP Shield. You can get $50 off a whole home EMP shield for your home, and it'll protect everything in there. It connects right to your circuit box, and if there is an EMP, then it will shut off the power to everything in your home, and you'll be able to use it again once the power comes back on. So here's the link to EMP Shield right there, along with the code RP78 if you want to save $50 off. I know they're not the things that people normally think about, but I mean, in terms of preparedness and ensuring that you're ready for anything, I got to tell you, a couple $100 to make sure that all of the electronics in your home are going to work if some sort of an attack does happen, it's a really good idea. So if we take a look at another poll, this one is coming from Rasmussen. Rasmussen is a more honest polling outfit. They are conservative, and from what I understand, they're very fair with President Trump. But President Trump also, in their poll, has an 8-point lead over Joe Biden. Currently, President Trump sits at 49%. Donald Trump, Hunter's dad, excuse me, Joe Biden, Hunter's dad, sits at 41%. If we look at a three-way race from Rasmussen that includes RFK Jr., Trump still comes out on top by 6 points. We would have 44% for Trump, 38% for Biden, and 10% for Kennedy. Now, with the two third-party candidates added, that would be Donald Trump. He would get 45%. Biden would get 38%. Kennedy would get 9%, Cornel West would get 2%, and Jill Stein would get 1%. This is, again, very, very strong polling numbers for President Trump. If we're looking at a two-way race, Biden would earn 48% of the black vote. Trump would get 39% of the black vote, and that should be closer, more than likely, to 80-20 if we go by historical Democrat performance with the black American vote. Trump is also beating Joe Biden among Hispanics, 48-37%. That should probably end up getting closer to 70-30 by the end of this election season. If we're looking at younger voters, 18-39, Biden is up by one percentage point. That's 43% to Donald Trump's 42%. That is going to flip the other way by the time we get to the election. When we look at five candidates competing, all of them, there is no scenario where Joe Biden comes out on top. The numbers are always bad for Joe Biden. So Biden earned 44% of the black vote, 29% of the Hispanic vote, 37% of the 18-39 vote, and Trump won 26% of the black vote, 48% of the Hispanic vote, which is 19 points over Joe Biden, and 37% of that 18-39 vote. Now, Rasmussen got this poll by asking 1,099 likely voters from March 31st to April 2nd. There is no statistical change in these numbers from when they asked the same questions back at the beginning of March. Real Clear Politics has also been continuing to do their own polls, and not much has changed on that front either. On March 4th, Trump was up by 2 points. Today, he leads by 0.6 points, so 4.67 to 4.61. And keep in mind that throughout the 2020 election, President Trump never came closer than 4 points behind Biden in that same poll. So let's see. When we get to November, it's going to be a very, very different landscape. And overall, President Trump is polling better in the swing states than he ever did in 2020 or 2016. And add to that the fact that in 2016 and 2020, President Trump always outperformed the polling when we got to the ballot box. So you can see that the Democrats are very, very eager to get through this election cycle and very afraid of what may come. When asking top Democrats, they're all saying the same thing. We are all prepared to lose. Thank you so much, number one Indiana dad, bro. thank you for the generous support. He says, a challenge to anyone with the means who appreciates Zach's work and leadership. General Flynn, Colonel McGregor, and Clay Clark all in the same week are awesome sauce. Thank you for what you do. Mohap, thank you, sir. I really, really appreciate it. So Democrats in Washington, D.C., Democrats in the political know, they have a deep knowledge and understanding of the Biden campaign and exactly what that campaign is facing when you take a look at President Donald Trump. Donald Trump has had a significant chance of beating Joe Biden and returning to the White House for quite some time. But as the persecution of Donald Trump continues and as the bad policy decisions of the Biden regime continue to affect the American people, those chances continue to rise exponentially. Now, Democrats are very concerned about their chances in November. In March, President Trump beat the odds and won five victories that firmly kept him on a path to retain the White House. He got the Republican presidential primary completely without even trying. He got a reduced bond amount down from $454 million to $175 million. The Truth Social merger completed. He got a massive payout in stock value from that merger. He also won a ruling by Judge Scott McAfee with the disqualification of butter spreader Nathan Willis. And also he got endorsed. He had endorsed candidates that won in the primary. Bernie Moreno in Ohio for one. He won the Ohio Republican Senate primary. Now, John Morgan is a Democrat fundraiser, and he said, my party is prepared to lose this presidential election to Donald Trump. He is a fairly successful lawyer from Central Florida. He added that he's nervous about Joe Biden's current political position. I think, well, anybody should be nervous about Joe Biden's political position. But if you're actually liking Joe Biden or you simply don't want Donald Trump to win, Well, then you should be very, very nervous. He said, as my great-grandfather used to say, I'm as nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Yes, hell yes. We all know that this is a jump ball. In 2016, we were reading Nate Silver and we weren't worried at all. When we woke up, we realized we've never been to Wisconsin and we've never been to Michigan. And then all the Monday morning quarterbacks get rolled out. Now, Morgan is not the only Democrat who's worried about Donald Trump's victory in November. Julie Chavez Rodriguez is Joe Biden's campaign manager. She said losing in November would range somewhere between damaging and devastating. I like devastating, Julie, and I'm going to roll with that. The campaign manager for Joe Biden has said that losing in November will be devastating. So let's deliver a devastating blow to Julie Chavez Rodriguez, because I would like myself to see that. I would love to feast on those liberal tears the morning of. I will again letting you guys know that I'm going to be online. I'm going to be streaming the entire night. There's no way I'm going to bed unless Donald Trump wins. And if they steal the election again, then I don't know that I'm even going to stop streaming. I'm going to continue going and I'm going to make the biggest stink that I possibly can. She said, for me, it's like either damage or devastation. Those are the two that I kind of go back and forth on. I think it would be devastating for our communities. It would be devastating for Democrat communities. And I think it would be damaging for our politics and for the policies that we've enacted. Well, you're a communist for the radical left-wing policies and the radical left-wing politics. Absolutely. It will be devastating. It will be damaging because all of that stuff is going to get rolled back. Donald Trump is going to return to the seat of power and we're going to get about the business of making America great again and draining that swamp. So yes, Julie Chavez Rodriguez, it will be devastating to the left-wing agenda. Now, She was questioned about whether or not she has the tools to prevent Trump's return to the White House. What if Biden's campaign manager can't manage to keep it at bay? Well, that won't be the case for Julie. Morgan defended Joe Biden's campaign manager because we are all prepared to lose no matter what. I don't think people are going to blame Julie like people blamed Robbie Mook for Hillary because Hillary was supposed to win this. Obviously, Joe Biden is a very different candidate. He doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of winning this election in November. And so they're all getting ready for the foregone conclusion. Another 4 years of hell at the hands of the America First movement. Former President Bill Clinton's campaign manager, Jim Carville, we've spoken about him on a number of occasions. As I said the other day, he is deeply, deeply worried about President Trump and the strong position he finds himself in. When you look at those top six swing states, President Trump is winning in all of them. I guarantee you, by the time we get to November, President Trump will be ahead in Wisconsin as well. He said, you have to be an idiot if you're not nervous. It's uncomfortably close, and the alternative would be an end to the Constitution. The alternative would be Joe Biden remaining in Washington, D.C. That would be the end of the Constitution. Remember, it's the Democrats who are talking about stacking the Supreme Court. It's the Democrats who are talking about ending the Second Amendment. It's the Democrats who are talking about forcing us to buy electric vehicles. It's the Democrats who are talking about amending the Constitution, saying it's a living document and we need to update it for the times. It's the Democrats who fundamentally want to change what America is. It's the Republicans and the America Firsters. It's the Donald Trump supporters, first and foremost, who want to restore America and bring it back to a position of strength, to a position of economic security, to a position of war stance security. We don't want to kill people. We don't want to get killed. We don't want to have to worry about whether or not our children are going to go to the bus stop in the morning and they're going to get scooped up by a pedophile or an illegal alien pedophile, even worse. Now, neither the Biden regime or the administration, despite their fears, are planning to back down. They're going to be spending as much money as possible. So this is no time to rest on our laurels. We have got to keep fighting. We've got to keep fighting against this. The Biden campaign ended February with $155 million on hand. And then, of course, instead of going to the funeral of that NYPD officer who was brutally murdered in broad daylight on the street, Barack, Barry, and Bill had that fundraiser where they raised $25 million from a bunch of upper 1% Washington, D.C. liberal elites. So the Trump campaign and the Republican National Committee announced that during the month of March, Donald Trump raised $65.6 million. So that brings his total campaign account up to $93.1 million. And you can bet that there will be more money coming in. But I think that Donald Trump is much smarter with the way he spends money. Dusker Who says, Zach changed his Covfefe wet pants during the show. Patriot power. Yes, that's correct. That's correct. All right, you guys. Also, we've got about 3,700 people here watching over on Rumble. If you guys wouldn't mind, please hit the like button. The like button lets Rumble and other people on the platform know that this is a show worth watching. If you don't hit that like button, then you might be a Democrat. I'm just going to say that. You might be a Biden supporter if you're watching the show right now and you don't hit the like button. Certainly, the three assholes who hit the thumbs down button, they're probably Biden supporters. So at least three more people. Let's just like overcome those three dislikes and let's continue to push the show forward. All right, you guys, we have to take a break for the second half of the show. Give me just one moment and we'll be right back on the other side. Well, bad news. It's warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. Citibank warned the soft landing dream is over. The U.S. economy is headed for a recession in the middle of 2024. Morgan Stanley warns a U.S. dollar regime shift could threaten stocks. And meanwhile, the Fed's most trusted recession indicator is flashing code red because every recession since 1945 has been preceded by a yield curve inversion. Meanwhile, the M2 money supply is meaningfully contracting for only the fifth time since 1870. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs, and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold. So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots Protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee for life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that no fee for life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right. So while some Democrats are preparing for the inevitable loss they're going to suffer come November, other Democrats are a little bit less prepared. People such as Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel has been a rabid, notorious leftist for years. Despite his humble upbringings on The Man Show, he was recently discussing with his audience in a dazed and confused manner the recent polls, which show that Donald Trump is leading Joe Biden in many different states by many different indicators, and more specifically in these crucial swing states. He looked at his audience with a perplexed look upon his face, and he said, "How could this be?" Jimmy Kimmel, being one of those one percenter upper crust DC style elites, doesn't understand the things that the average American is going through at the hands of the Biden regime. He has not been affected. He has been gloriously and blissfully unaware of the variety of horrors that the American people are suffering, the indignations that we are being put through on a daily basis, making decisions like hand soap or eggs this week. What are we going to do? Are we going to wash our hands or are we going to feed ourselves and our kids? So Jimmy Kimmel was just a little bit upset by the fact that Donald Trump is winning, and I am one to love it. I am here to see it. Now, considering all of this stuff, one of the main things we've been talking about is the need for Donald Trump to have adequate representation in the federal government. We need America Firsters to make up the majority of that body politic so that when Donald Trump demands something, when he decrees something, when we want to implement change, when we want to roll back a decision that Joe Biden made or his regime made that is bad for the American people, he's got to have the right people working there. We've had a number of guests on the show recently say that this is of the paramount importance. Well, it would appear that the White House, Joe Biden's regime, is also catching up to that fact. They understand that when Donald Trump returns, he could fire the entirety of the United States government if he so desired. If Donald Trump wanted to shut the government down, if he wanted to completely end if he wanted to end a department or an office, or he wanted to cancel and fire someone for not following his dictates, he could do that. He is the president of the United States, and the executive branch is his purview. Well, the administration just announced their plans earlier today to protect bureaucrats from being fired in a second Trump administration. The U.S. Office of Personnel Management finalized a rule that protects employees in civil service by preventing the removal of their status and protections involuntarily. This is coming from a press release they just put out. Under this new rule, an administration wishing to shift federal employees to a new category, making them easier to fire, would have to go through an elongated process. This is a move that is clearly meant to make time-consuming efforts for a future president so that they couldn't simply fire people in the way that we have been demanding. Career federal employees deliver critical services for Americans in every community, OPM Director Karan Ahuja said in a press release. This final rule honors our 2.2 million career civil servants, helping ensure the people are hired and fired based on merit and that they can carry out their duties based on their expertise and not political loyalty. The Biden-Harris regime is deeply committed to the federal workforce, as these professionals are vital to our national security, our health, our economic prosperity, and much more. So the rule widely is viewed as a response to an executive order that was signed by President Trump in 2020. That executive order targeted federal workers, removing protections from some employees and making it easier for the president to hire and fire them. Now, the executive order took some entrenched bureaucrats in positions of a confidential policy determining, policy making, or policy advocating character and put them in a different category considered Schedule F, which made them easier to fire. So the OPM rule quotes this language directly, even mentioning Schedule F. So the rule from the OPM now advances policy goals, the press release states, by clarifying that the phrase confidential policy determining, policy making, or policy advocating positions is a term of art to describe positions that lack civil service protections. It means non-career political appointments. This rule prevents that exception from being misapplied to career civil servants. I'm not worried about them making it too difficult for President Trump to hire and fire people. I believe that no matter what, he'll be able to overcome this with any other sort of possible changes that he'll be looking to make. But they say Schedule F ensuring that they are based on merit, not political considerations. What's interesting is that so many of the decisions that were made by these career bureaucrats were not based on merit. It's not based on anything other than political considerations. The entirety of the resistance movement was based on political considerations, their political desires over and above the desires of the current administration. They said this rule is about making sure the American public can continue to count on federal workers to apply their skills and expertise in carrying out their jobs, no matter their personal political beliefs. I call bullshit, because I don't think that's being done right now. I think that their personal political beliefs are superseding the needs of the American people. Take a look at the recent cut job that was done with James O'Keefe and Shaden Gray, or Eldon Gray, whatever his name was, the guy that worked at the State Department. He was talking about taking our guns. He was talking about ending the Senate, getting rid of the Electoral College. I mean, you can't get much more political than that. That guy was not at all concerned about the needs, desires, or the best interest of the American people. He was interested in furthering his own political agenda. And the same with the next one that James O'Keefe went on. He went on another Grindr date. That guy was the exact same way. He admitted, at least, that Donald Trump was right. But he worked at the Treasury, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I'd have to go back and take a look at it. But in addition to President Trump's executive order, we've got conservatives pushing the importance of remaking the federal bureaucracy. That is the biggest thing that we need to do. And Trump allies have indicated it's going to be a key priority in the second term. I think that that should be the only focus when he gets back, because we're not going to get anything else done unless we have that federal bureaucracy whittled down to something far, far leaner than what it is now. A majority of political donations in 2023 were made by federal employees to President Joe Biden and fellow Democrats. So it's quite clear that political consideration is the number one thing that's on their mind. All right, now we need to do an update on a number of cases involving President Trump. In regards to New York Judge Juan Marchand, he's the guy overseeing the so-called hush money payments case that President Trump was charged with in Manhattan District Court. This is Alvin Bragg's case, which didn't enumerate any crimes that were committed. And what they accused President Trump of being involved with was things that would have been done at the lower levels by, say, his accountant or the accountant for that particular section of the company. But on April 3rd, Judge Marchand, the same guy who has a daughter who represents the corrupt Biden regime and a number of people within it, he has denied President Trump's latest request to delay the upcoming trial, which is set to begin on April 15th. President Trump had requested that that delay based upon the presidential immunity defense that has yet to be heard by the Supreme Court. That hearing by the Supreme Court, the arguments are not going to be until 10 days after that case begins in Manhattan District Court. So defendant's motion is denied in its entirety as untimely, Judge Marchand said. The court declines to consider whether the doctrine of presidential immunity precludes the introduction of evidence of purported official presidential acts in a criminal proceeding. Now, President Trump had argued that the prosecution's evidence related to President Trump's official acts should be excluded based on presidential immunity. But in Manhattan, the district attorney is prosecuting President Trump on 34 counts of so-called falsifying records for the business, alleging that a payment scheme was designed to unfavorably get rid of stories that were going to make it more difficult for President Trump to win the election in 2016. Again, those payments were not even cataloged until 2017, after President Trump had already won the presidential election, after he had already divested himself of any interest in his businesses, after he had already handed over control of everything to other people. And not to mention, President Trump is not acting and never has acted as his own accountant. So the trial is set to begin on April 15th. Now, the timeliness, as the judge wrote in his decision, he explained that he decided against delaying the trial on timeliness, describing the defendant's arguments as excuses. Now, Judge Marchand is a leftist himself. It's quite clear that he's interested in getting Trump in the same way that all these other unfair leftist judges are interested in getting Trump. He said, in reviewing the excuses proffered by the defendant for the timing of this motion, this court finds they are inadequate and not convincing. Judge Marchand also found that the prosecutors had outlined the evidence they intended to show at the trial in February and wrote that the defense should have raised the presidential immunity objections at that time instead of within days of the trial. The defendant had ample notice that the people were in possession of and intended to use the various statements allegedly made by the defendant on social media, in public, and in various interviews. He was also well aware that the defense of presidential immunity, even if unsuccessful, might be available to him. So the judge noted the defense had touched on presidential immunity last year in an attempt to move the case to federal court, yet it was not argued. So the timing of the new motion raises real questions about the sincerity and actual purpose of this motion. Judge Marchand also said the circumstances viewed as a whole test this court's credulity, writing that the defense had myriad opportunities to raise this defense earlier. Now, I think that there's no argument that could have been made which would have had Judge Marchand changing his mind in this instance. He has wanted to get Donald Trump into court. He wants to get his pound of flesh. They want to convict Donald Trump of something because they're of the opinion that the more convictions they can get for Donald Trump, the more likely it is that the people are going to abandon him. But as I've always said, even if President Trump on Election Day is sitting in Manhattan District Court or sitting behind bars, the people of this country are still going to elect him. I got to say, it would be a boss move for President Trump to write himself a pardon from behind a jail cell. But I don't believe that that's going to have to be the case. President Trump is not guilty, and President Trump is never going to see the inside of a jail cell because the real criminals are the people who are attempting to use this political pressure in the form of the Justice Department to go after him. Don't forget that Michael Cohen, this whole case revolves around Michael Cohen. He made public claims that he had paid off an adult actress who alleged to have an affair with President Trump, Stormy Daniels. But it's also been claimed that Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen actually were having an affair and that they're the ones who actually made up this story so that they could try to get money out of President Trump. Now, presidential immunity is going to come up in a number of these cases, in notably the classified documents case that's going to be coming up. I think that if this case in New York begins on the 15th as it's scheduled and the Supreme Court hears the arguments about presidential immunity, it's highly likely they will decide in President Trump's favor. And then all of these cases may likely go the way of the dodo and it will all be over. Now, what's also interesting here is that this same judge wrote about President Trump's case in Washington, D.C., and he called it the insurrection matter. Now, as a legal scholar, as a judge of a court, even if it is New York, Judge Juan Marchand should have the awareness of the legal definition of insurrection, that which President Trump has never been charged with, President Trump has never been convicted of. So for him to call it an insurrection matter, it's immediately and obviously playing into the hands of the Democrat propaganda matrix, which is attempting to color President Trump in the eyes of the jury, in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of every court across America. Thank you very, very much, you guys, for hanging out with us today. If you haven't yet, please hit the like button. Please hit the red pill. Please help us out by sharing the show. Oh, no, Lane. Lane says, Zach, you jinxed me. I put my drink down on the edge of the coaster and spillage. Oh, man, I'm sorry for that. I'm really, really sorry. Thank you also over here on the foxhole at pilled.net. Let me say thank you to Mighty Patriot. Thank you to Thick Ray. Thank you to Good Dog. Thank you to Sean Joe and Sean Joe and Liberty Bells. Vector117. Make sure you're following Vector117. He's one hell of a DJ, and he's even a better cook, if I dare say so. He says, give General Flynn our regards from Anons and Autists. Absolutely, I will. J2 Dank, thank you for the shades. Sean Joe, thank you for the cookie. I appreciate you guys. All right. So you may have heard this, and Adel and I mentioned it briefly on Taking It Back at 4 p.m. But Anthony Blinken has just made a public pronouncement from a summit that he's currently attending with other NATO-aligned nations and the government of Ukraine, announcing to the world that it has now been decided that Ukraine will be joining NATO. Now, Ukraine is at best a vassal state of the United States of America. This is Joe Biden and the deep state elite's favorite playground for human trafficking, gun running, drug running, and of course, the siphoning of natural resources in the form of energy. They clearly have used Ukraine for their own personal criminal ends. And now it's also a convenient tool to use against Russia, a westernized nation without all of the diversity, equity, and inclusion nonsense, a Christian nation, a nation that stands in opposition to the deep state New World Order establishment, and a nation that also has quite a bit of landmass and natural resources of their own. Now we have the same old neocon war hawks that are running the show. NATO would love for boots on the ground to invade Ukraine to fight against Russians. Whether or not it turns into World War III and a full-scale global conflict, it will continue to perpetuate the military state. It will continue to fund the deep state alliances between the various military-industrial complex companies that are producing missiles and armored vehicles and bullets and fatigues. I mean, you go down the list, you name it all over and over and over again. I think that this is why they have refused to admit that Ukraine is losing this war. They're going to kill all the people, all the eligible young men of Ukraine, and then they'll finally go in at the last second with NATO-aligned troops, or they'll admit that NATO troops are already on the ground, and then they will enter into a full-scale war. I sincerely hope that we're able to hold this off until after President Trump comes into office in January of next year. It is a remarkably short trip around the block before we get there. But in terms of, wars, it's an eternity. A lot can happen in that meantime. But make no mistake, Anthony Blinken making this announcement is a pronounced departure from the past messaging that was being put out on Ukraine. The United States and NATO-aligned nations have promised for decades that Ukraine would not join NATO. Ukraine was always that buffer zone because Russia couldn't go there. The United States basically ran it. The CIA had all their bases and their laboratories there. It was a perfect place to run girls. It was a perfect place to run kids. It was a perfect place to run drugs and guns. And now all of that's at risk. And so they need to do everything they can to keep it back. President Trump has just had a motion to dismiss his classified documents case dismissed. In the Georgia case, there was a motion to dismiss that was rejected. But in the classified documents case, a group of lawyers and ex-government officials have asked to file a curé brief, an amicus curé brief. These are people who are not involved in the case, but they want to make an argument to the judge. And as legal professionals and former government employees, they would like to believe that they have some level of understanding and cachet over and above what normal people would have. It's as far as they're concerned, they're the cream of the crop. And so they want to go in there and they want to tell Judge Judge Eileen Cannon. They want to tell Judge Eileen Cannon, hey, we've got the knowledge. We've got the experience. We used to work in government. We're also lawyers. You know, personally, I look at that as a number of different factors which make me not trust them in any respect, makes me respect them far less than I might if they were just average people. But the judge is now taking a look at this. And in this brief, we have these former prosecutors, these elected officials, other government officials, constitutional lawyers and organizations, all of them urging Judge Eileen Cannon to reject former President Trump's motion to dismiss on the grounds that Special Counsel Jack Smith is not lawfully appointed and is also improperly funded. I feel like this is a good argument that President Trump has. Now, the argument of the attorneys, Matthew Seligman and Christina Alonzo, who are representing the group, it all hinges on whether or not Jack Smith was duly appointed as an inferior officer under powers that are granted to the Attorney General by the Appointments Clause of the U.S. Constitution. We've talked about this for a long time. Ever since Jack Smith was actually appointed, this has been an issue of contention. I am glad to see that President Trump is acting on it. The story is that President Trump and his amici contend that the appointment of Special Counsel Jack Smith is unlawful. That contention is demonstrably incorrect. Oh, do tell. Do tell, legal experts, former elected officials, and former government bureaucrats. All Congress needs to do is stop funding these trials against President Trump. Well, unfortunately, Congress is not the one who is overseeing the funding for it. Now, they could remove funding from the Department of Justice. But these are not all federal cases. These are also taking place in state jurisdictions. This is taking place at Manhattan, the city-level jurisdiction. So it's not as simple as just defunding. But the thing is, they don't have the votes to defund now. They would not even have the ability to do it if they were able to get the votes together. So the attorneys are arguing that the U.S. Constitution and laws are enacted by Congress that unmistakably establish the lawfulness of Special Counsel Jack Smith's appointment. In February, President Trump filed a number of motions to dismiss the Mar-a-Lago classified documents case. He argued in one of those motions that Mr. Smith lacks the authority to prosecute. So attorneys for the former president contend that neither the U.S. Constitution nor Congress had officially established the special counsel's office, rendering Jack Smith's appointment invalid. They also argued that the special counsel's office is being funded off the books by the Biden administration. There, Jim, we have another wrinkle. It's not even the Department of Justice who is paying Jack Smith. So who then is actually paying Jack Smith? At most, Mr. Smith is an employee and not an officer under the statutes that Mr. Garland cites in making his appointment. Now, President Trump's lawyers also argue that the only remedy is to dismiss that superseding indictment. Following the filing of these motions to dismiss, the court then granted three amicus curiae briefs back in March, all filed in support of President Trump's motion to dismiss. So the court found those briefs that brought the court's attention to a relevant matter that may be of considerable help to the court in resolving the cited pretrial motions. But in the brief that was filed on Wednesday, Seligman and Alonzo both argue that President Trump's motion to dismiss makes arguments that are wholly without merit, and that the three amici briefs supporting the president's motions to dismiss are also mutually inconsistent in their positions. Mr. Smith has described himself in a brief as an inferior officer of the United States. Simply being appointed by a department head does not elevate that position to the status of inferior officer of the United States. Indeed, the mere fact that a person is appointed by the head of a department does not make that position and office at all. He argued that Jack Smith's position as special counsel is not contentious as precedent requires, and therefore it cannot be an officer of any type. So in this case, Jack Smith's actions are a notionally independent United States attorney are beyond the scope of what the Supreme Court has permitted. And as a result, those actions he is doing are unlawful. Now, the appointments clause, which this is all revolving around, stipulates that all federal offices, except for the president's, must be established by Congress and appointed with the advice and consent of the Senate. Clearly, those things did not happen in the appointment of Jack Smith. Merrick Garland unilaterally made the decision to create that office and to appoint Jack Smith to it. As a result, the former president's motion reads, neither the Constitution nor Congress have created the office of the special counsel. So Jack Smith's appointment is invalid, and any prosecutorial power he seeks to wield is ultra vires. I'm assuming that means not legal also. Now, Jack Smith's brief has dismissed these arguments as confused contentions. He said the court should promptly reject the legally unsupportable challenges to the special counsel's authority to prosecute President Trump. Now, Judge Eileen Cannon gave President Trump's lawyers and the special counsel until April 17th to respond to these briefs. Merrick Garland appointed Smith as a special counsel on November 18th, 2022, to prosecute federal crimes arising from the investigation into President Trump and the handling of classified documents that were seized from Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach. Clearly, I think that the argument that President Trump and his lawyers are making, it holds water. And I think that if anybody was going to accept this argument, it would be Judge Eileen Cannon. Now, of course, you're going to have to go back and look at the history of special counsels and how they've been used in the United States. Perhaps she may dictate something else, or perhaps that Jack Smith hand the case over to somebody else. Perhaps there's going to be a need to create a brand new office that the Congress is going to have to appoint. But either way, it looks like Jack Smith is not legally in that position, and so therefore you cannot legally prosecute President Trump. All right, so Let's see. The next story that we have up is about that motion in Georgia that I had mentioned. That was a motion to dismiss on free speech grounds. So Judge Scott McAfee this morning denied this motion from President Trump to have this lawfare case dismissed on the merits of the First Amendment. He said, after considering the extensive briefing, the argument of counsel, and the indictment, the court finds these vital constitutional protections do not reach the actions and statements alleged by the state, nor do the statutes themselves facially violate the First Amendment. They argue this prosecution violates the First Amendment's protections of political speech and activity, freedom of association, and the right to petition Congress as applied to their alleged conduct, and further contend that the indicted charges are overbroad. He wrote a 23-page decision, and he has ordered Fannie Willis to address the appearance of impropriety before the case can move forward, which led to the firing of Nathan Wade. Now, this to me is a good argument as well. And it all goes back to the idea that these judges are bought and paid for. They were likely chosen because they were going to play ball. I think the only one that likely wasn't was Judge Eileen Cannon, because she appears to be at least interested in carrying through to the letter of the law. Meanwhile, everybody else is interested in burying Donald Trump. Now, yesterday we spoke about the efforts in Nebraska to change their electoral college distribution scheme. And there was also a Democrat state senator who switched parties. And it was supposed to be the exact thing they needed, a filibuster proof majority, so that they could get this passed. Well, guess what? They couldn't even get their shit together to pass it. So the Nebraska legislature yesterday voted against the proposal that would have changed the way their electoral college votes are allocated. That would have been a major setback for Joe Biden had it passed. But unfortunately, it's now a bit of a setback for President Trump. Now, virtually every single state has this sort of system where the winner takes all. Nebraska is one of a handful of states, like Maine, that allocates various levels of electoral votes depending upon the way that state votes. So now the only way that this is going to happen is if there is another bill that's introduced, or perhaps there is a decree by the governor of the state, or perhaps the citizens of Nebraska vote to include some sort of winner-take-all provision in the allotment of their electoral votes. But either way, it's not going to happen right now. So the DOJ, the same DOJ that's being run and operated by sycophants of the Biden regime, or rather perhaps the O'Biden regime, is seeking prison time for the woman who found Ashley Biden's diary and then gave it to Project Veritas. Of course, that diary was highly damaging to Joe Biden. It was devastating for the family. Ashley Biden, the youngest daughter of Joe Biden, repeated some very disturbing allegations when she left that diary under a mattress at the rehab that she had been staying at. There were two people who found this diary at that halfway house, and then they later sold it to James O'Keefe. You might remember that in January of 2019, Ashley wrote an entry recalling how she used to shower with her father, and she suggested it may have contributed to a sex addiction. It also describes how Ashley and her father were taking showers together at an inappropriate age. "I have always been boy crazy," Ashley wrote. "Hypersexualized at a young age. I remember somewhat being sexualized with a family member. I remember having sex with friends at a young age. Showers with my dad, probably not appropriate. All of these things are highly inappropriate. I can't imagine," well, yes, I can. "I know exactly what would lead to a young child being hypersexualized. That will be experience with sex at a young age. And as a child and an adult cannot consent to having sex with each other, it is sexual abuse. It's rape." So if Ashley Biden was hypersexualized by being naked with her father, it's likely that there were more things happening than just a shower being taken. Warrior Mima says, thank you for all your hard work, Zach, and I'm glad that coffee wasn't piping hot, LOL. I am glad, too. I had just a little bit left over from when I was on Taking It Back, and so I told Lisa to just put it on top of it. I can't believe that there's actually any coffee left in here. Mm. Who cares, says Nebraska is one of the last states doing the Electoral College the way the founders formed it. Oh, is that how it was initially? Well, interesting. Okay, well, I'm not going to give him too much guff over it, regardless. So the Justice Department is seeking prison time for Amy Harris, one of the people who found that diary. And she ended up selling it to Project Veritas. Project Veritas got raided by the DOJ as well. Now, according to the DOJ, Amy Harris was temporarily staying at the Delray Beach, Florida residence of Ashley Biden in September 2020 when she stole the diary containing highly personal entries as well as tax records, a cell phone, and family photographs. And then Harris listed defendant Robert Kurlander to assist her in selling the collected material. This woman is probably going to end up in prison. I'm just going to be really honest with you, because they want to do everything they can to keep these people quiet. They want to send the message that if anybody else does something like this to the Biden family, they're going to ruin their lives. All right. We already talked about Trump and getting all that money. Oh, here's a follow up to a story we talked about last week. You guys remember we were talking about the Trump Doral shooter and how he had made the claim that he was a sex slave to Sean P. Diddy Combs and his girlfriend at the time, Cassandra. Cassandra ended up suing Sean Combs for sexually trafficking her. This is now starting to make the rounds among conservative media. People are taking note. I'm not certain that anybody saw it on my program, but that's pretty awesome that we were ahead of the curve on that one. This definitely is important when it comes to the overall case of Sean P. Diddy Combs. And I'm sure that considering the fact this guy is still in prison, the government is going to go ahead and talk to him, or at least the investigators are looking into the human trafficking cases that Sean Combs is undoubtedly going to be facing when we get to that point. Let's see. All right. Sean Puffy P. Shitty. Yeah. All right. Here is a case of F around and find out. A National Guard member of the Texas National Guard, irony, has just been arrested because he was caught on video smuggling an illegal immigrant across the southern border in his government-issued vehicle. In the video, Specialist Savion Johnson, he was actually deployed to Eagle Pass, Texas. He was because authorities were alerted to his suspicious behavior at a Border Patrol checkpoint. Now, Johnson has since been charged with smuggling an illegal person, evading arrest, and the unlawful carry of a weapon. Governor Greg Abbott's spokesperson stated that if the allegations against Johnson are true, he's a traitor and a criminal. And considering the fact that it's all caught on video, I'd say that he definitely is a traitor and a criminal. Let's go ahead and watch this guy get caught.
Out this way. Come on. Turn around. Don't mind your back. Why are you running, dude?
That's very, very
scared. Oh, what? Must be fucking red lights.
I know. I'm just very scared. Driver,
nothing. He's a driver.
Where?
Him.
Stupid. Where the bodies? Dumped. You jumped them?
Yep. One Hispanic male just took off on South Ride, pulled it back in, pulled back.
Oh, man. I'm so stupid.
Yeah, you are fucking stupid, man.
Yeah, you are effing stupid.
You know how many people you could have fucking killed, man? Jesus Christ.
What a dummy. You know, I just got to say, I am glad this guy got caught. Okay? I think that anyone who smuggles in illegals like this, they are a traitor to their country. They are deserving of the fullest extent of the law. This guy deserves to rot in prison. Do you think this was the first time he did it? What do you think he's doing it for? Did he just do it out of the goodness of his heart? Was he maybe thinking he was going to get lucky by smuggling an illegal across the border? Did it have something to do with the connection to the cartels? This guy obviously was taking advantage of his position, probably getting paid a lot of money to smuggle people across the border. And I guarantee you this was not the first time and it would not have been the last time.
Come on. Fucked up.
No shit, man.
Fucked up.
Sorry.
Get him.
You know how many weapons on you?
No, sir. One in the vehicle.
Oh, you had a weapon in the vehicle too?
Jesus
Christ, man. You don't have anything else on you?
No, sir.
Just that illegal who ran off. I want to get a good look at his face. Take a look at the camera, Javion. Savion.
One bell. Sam Brackett. We got the driver. I got a 95 in the music.
Supposed to be protecting America. Meanwhile, he's weakening us.
No, he didn't bell there. Nobody bell. Somebody bailed back before the spikes.
Where's the driver at?
He's right here, my...
Question him. Ask him about being a traitor.
He works for...
All right. Well, we know what happened. He ended up in jail. Good for them. Specialist Savion Amari Donovan Johnson, dragged out of the vehicle. God. He reportedly accepted $6,000 to smuggle the illegal alien. $6,000 for how many years in prison? Let's go ahead and check it out. At least 5 years in prison, I betcha. How many years in prison for smuggling illegals? Smuggling non-citizens into the United States. Let's see. Oh, gosh. Between 5 and 15 years? Okay, well, no, there's different ways you can do it. Okay, so let's see, under Section 27A, well, there's multiple sections. Okay, so Section 27A, anyone who helps bring or attempt to bring a non-citizen into the United States at some non-designated place without inspection by a Border Patrol agent committing a crime, this mode of transportation doesn't matter, all of it is criminalized, can include a fine under 18 U.S.C., prison term of up to 10 years or both. Punishment gets multiplied by the number of people smuggled. If someone gets injured as a result, that can be increased to 20 years. If someone dies, they can get life. Good to know. Knowingly or in reckless disregard of the fact that a person lacks prior official authorization to enter the U.S. Prison term of up to 1 year or a fine multiplied by the number of violations. I would think because he ran, that's going to be a multiplier right there. Although commercial or financial gain is not required, it too can increase the penalty to at least 3 years and up to 10 years in prison. So this guy is probably looking at a minimum of 5 to 10 years, I would say. 5 to 10 years. Hope it was worth it, Savion. All right. So I think that when President Trump comes back into office, he's going to be taking a page out of the playbook of Javier Milei. Javier Milei, I was certain, was a good guy. I think people are still not convinced, but so far he's done exactly everything he said he was going to do. He is restoring Argentina. He is making Argentina great again. He just slashed 15,000 taxpayer-funded state jobs. Also, the union is not happy about it. Of course, why would they be? When he was elected president of Argentina, the libertarian economist Javier Milei became responsible for tackling a serious problem. How do you turn around an economy that's been destroyed by the Eva Peronists, socialists, who drove up almost 60% of the citizens below the poverty line? So what's worse, how do you do that while you're being maligned by the mainstream media and the Western-aligned nations of the world who also want to take a page from Eva Peron's playbook? Well, Javier Milei has done exactly what he said he was going to do. He was going to slash jobs. He was going to slash funding. He was going to slash spending. And 15,000 taxpayer jobs are just the latest that he has put on the chopping block, as he is known, the chainsaw, putting his government now on a collision course with angry protesters and powerful trade unions. So a spokesperson, Manuel Adorni, for Javier Milei, announced the job cuts in a news conference, and he portrayed them as key to Milei's promised shakeup of Argentina's bloated public sector, just like we got right here. It's part of the work we're doing to reduce state expenses. They perhaps did not have a very defined job. Workers at ministries that Milei has vowed to close, such as the National Institute Against Discrimination, along with a range of state agencies, including ministries for the economy, energy, and social security, received the latest layoff notices. Critics say the impact of the laid off workers is combined with the reduction of social programs, and it creates a critical situation. Milei campaigned for president while brandishing a chainsaw, which I thought was totally based, promising to fix Argentina's long troubled economy by chopping down the size of the state. Determined to balance the country's budget, he has slashed energy and transportation subsidies, halted public works, cut payments to provincial governments, and devalued the peso by over 50% to close the gap between the official exchange rate and the black market rate. They are walking a very thin line. They need to go deeper with their measures to cut spending, but they need to prevent social unrest. I mean, that's obvious. There is going to be a period of pain in Argentina. There's no way around it. You can't introduce radical change to push the country in the right direction unless you break a few eggs on the way to do so. How is Argentine inflation right now? Let's go ahead and check it out. Current Argentina inflation. I mean, it was out of control before. Oh, wow. Look at this. 276% in February. It was 254 in January. It was 211 in December. 160% back in November. Wow. It's just gone up steadily, and it's exploded since Milei came into office. So the inflation rate in Argentina increased to 276% in February. Inflation rate in Argentina averaged 189.97% from 1944 until 2024, reaching an all-time high of 20,262.8% in March of 1990 and a record low of negative 7% in February 1984. It can be done. It can be done, and it's going to happen. All right, this is a story that I am kind of disturbed about, and I think it's obviously something that every single person here needs to know. I'm notoriously clumsy. I cut myself a lot, and I am often finding myself using Band-Aids. Well, it's recently been discovered that there are cancer-causing elements inside the Band-Aids you used, Band-Aids being the brand. However, I would say that most regular generic brands of Band-Aids probably are going to contain this stuff too. So this is a groundbreaking study that's been It's been put out by the consumer advocacy group Momovation, and it found alarming levels of PFAS. These are chemicals that do not break down in your body. They're referred to as forever chemicals, and they're discovered in widely used bandage brands, which includes Band-Aids. So PFAS are known for their persistence in the environment and in human bodies. They've been linked to a slew of health issues that includes cancer, immune system disruption, and also reproductive problems. Now, Momovation's inquiry into the presence of PFAS in bandages was conducted in partnership with Environmental Health News, and it received scientific validation from notable experts such as Terrence Collins of Carnegie Mellon University and Linda S. Birnbaum, the former director of the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. The study entailed sending 40 bandages from 18 different brands to an EPA-certified laboratory to test for the presence of PFAS. 65% of the bandages that were tested contained detectable levels of PFAS, with concentrations ranging from 11 to 328 parts per million. Now, what's really concerning about this is that 63% of the bandages that are marketed towards people of color contained these hazardous chemicals. So these PFAS substances have long been used for their oil-resistant, grease-resistant, and water-resistant properties. While they are known for their durability, their presence in everyday items has become a major concern due to the link that they share with a number of different health issues. These are the bandages that you want to stay away from. Band-Aid Flexible Fabric Comfortable Protection Bandages. And these are the ones that I use. They contained 188 parts per million of organic fluorine on the absorbent pad. You want to check for older Band-Aids in your cabinet because apparently these ones are from older stock. But also Band-Aid Our Tone Flexible Fabric BR45 Bandages. I think these are the ones for people of color. 262 parts per million organic fluorine. Band-Aid Our Tone Flexible Fabric BR55 Bandages, 250 parts per million. Band-Aid Our Tone Flexible Fabric BR65 Bandages, 260 parts per million, not only on the pad but on the flaps as well. Care Science Antibacterial Flexible Fabric Adhesive Bandages, also 328 parts per million. Curad Absorbent Bandages, Four-Sided Seal. CVS Health C60 Fabric Antibacterial Bandages. CVS Health C70 Flexible Fabric Bandages. CVS Equate. Those are all from Walmart. First Honey Manuka Bandages. Wow, you would think that a product that's based on Manuka honey would not. Also, Rite Aid Salimo. I know Salimo as well. Up and Up, which is from Target. So it doesn't look like there's many places where you can get PFAS-free bandages. And to be quite frank with you, none of those bandages are going to say on the box whether or not they have these deadly cancer-causing substances in them. But this is what can happen. If you get this PFAS in your body, you have a reduction in your immunity, reduction in vaccination response, not worried about that one, increased risk of allergies and asthma in young children, affected growth, learning, and behavior of infants and older children, increased cholesterol levels. Honey, maybe that's why my cholesterol is so high. Metabolic diseases like obesity and diabetes. Cardiovascular disease, lower a woman's chance of getting pregnant, lowered male fertility, increased risk of kidney and testicular cancers, causes of endocrine disruption, disrupted normal thyroid function, and an increased risk of acute lymphoblastic leukemia in children. Now, some of the other industries that are known to contain PFAS, that includes textiles, the stuff that makes your clothes, food packaging, personal care products, that's tampons and pads, cookware, and even firefighting foams. So it pretty much sounds like PFASs are pretty much everywhere that you could possibly not want them to be. They are found in the blood of virtually all Americans. So it makes the reality of widespread exposure a significant health problem. But meanwhile, the government is more concerned with the amount of carbon dioxide that's in the air, carbon dioxide that is breathed by plants so that they can grow up and create oxygen for us. This is what pisses me off more than anything else. They lecture us about the environment, but then at the same time, they allow for these deadly, toxic, hazardous, and carcinogenic chemicals to be present in all of the things that we use on a daily basis, whether it's our food or the things we put on our bodies or the things we put in our hair, on our teeth, over and over and over again. You guys, we are literally inundated with cancer-causing substances all around us all the time. All right, we're going to be closing out the show today by talking about the color revolution that is apparently the fault of the Biden regime. Now, I know a lot of people are going to be excited about the idea of regime change in Israel, but I want to caution you guys because a couple of different things may be happening. First of all, if it wasn't bad enough that the whole country is turning on Joe Biden, they also just had to cancel their annual Ramadan dinner with Muslims because the Muslims refused to attend, likely because Joe Biden hasn't taken a harder stance on Israel in the war with Hamas. So I thought that was notable. Now, just after that announcement, we learned that Joe Biden is behind an effort to depose Bibi Netanyahu. Now, think about this. He's funding Iran. He is also funding Hamas. There is obviously some level of tension between Israel, the Biden regime, and of course also tension between Joe Biden and the Muslim populations. But a color revolution is often likely going to be sponsored by the power structure that is in place currently. Joe Biden and the O'Biden regime are the people at the top of the U.S. government. We may still have white hat operations taking place in the background, but that doesn't mean that every single person is playing by the same rules. I think that the deep state knows that their time is limited, and as a result, they are working in overdrive to ensure that when Donald Trump returns, they're still going to be able to thwart him. Now, I just want you to think about this for a moment. Think about every time that the United States has engaged in regime change. In any nation on earth, it has never turned out good for the people of that nation or for the region. So I don't see this as Joe Biden standing up to Israel. I don't see this as Joe Biden standing up to Bibi Netanyahu. What I see here is Joe Biden working to weaken a strategic partner in the Middle East so that they can further destabilize it and introduce another series of ongoing military escalations. If a color revolution is successful in Israel, the government that comes into power is going to be beholden to the Biden regime. The government that comes into power is more than likely going to engage in the same sorts of activities that the current regime is engaging in. I don't think that this is going to lead to peace for the Palestinian people. I don't think that this is going to lead to, allies for President Trump or for America First. This is going to be people who are interested in furthering their own goals, their own desires. And the vast majority of the Israeli deep state, I mean, they're not interested in the Palestinian people living in peace. I mean, they're going to go ahead and come right in and basically do whatever. We asked the question on October 7th, why was it that Hamas was able to come into the country and to attack Israel, when Israel has some of the most sophisticated monitoring equipment on the face of the planet? Is it possible that this color revolution was put into action at some time in the past before October 7th? Is it possible that the people who allowed Hamas to come through those borders and kill people and get this war kicked off, maybe they're part of the efforts of the people who want to depose Benjamin Netanyahu? It would certainly make a lot of sense. So this is now coming 1 week after the Houthi rebels attempted to shoot down a U.S. drone in the same region, and 1 month after the Iran-backed Hamas terrorists, of course, entered into Israel and killed 1,400 people. Now, the people who died were just normal people, right? I mean, this wasn't like a military victory. These were just people who were out there hanging out, partying. And clearly, they weren't like the best and the brightest of the Israeli military or anything like that. These were just average, everyday people. This would be like the Biden regime opening the southern border and allowing our people to be killed by these criminal aliens. Oops, that's exactly what's happened. So how did we learn that there was a color revolution that was being fomented? Well, it turns out that we have an inside source who has actually produced messages which discuss the plan that the Biden regime has to remove Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, the signs and symptoms that we're seeing in Israel are very reminiscent of what we saw here in the United States when the color revolution scheme orchestrated by Norm Eisen and implemented by the Biden regime was put into play. There is a significant protest movement that's taking place in Israel. You've got opposition in the streets protesting against the Israeli government, and you've had a key cabinet member demanding new elections very recently. Also, you've got Chuck Schumer demanding new elections. So I say to you again, if Joe Biden and the Democrats are the ones who are calling for regime change in Israel, is that going to be a good thing for America, or is that going to be a good thing for the deep state players who are already in the seat of power here in the United States and who want to enter the seat of power in Israel? So you guys know a coup d'etat. Color revolution is a coup d'etat. It's accomplished with mass protests against the existing government, whether or not they're elected, and they have the assistance of the media and the assistance of an outside intelligence agency. In this instance, it's the CIA and it's the Biden regime. Now, ever since the onslaught of the October 7th attack, Israel has had remarkable unity with these protests. They've been centered in Tel Aviv, and they've been against Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his judicial reforms. The judicial reforms were actually, from what I understand, a good thing for Israel and a bad thing for the Israeli deep state. There have been weekly protests in favor of a deal to release the Israeli hostages from Hamas, but organizers have been careful to steer clear of any sort of electoral politics. The decision to reach a deal was not entirely in the hands of the current Israeli government. But in March, the U.S. intelligence community released an assessment that stated, "We expect large protests demanding Netanyahu's resignation and new elections. A different, more moderate government is a possibility." Moderate to whom, and different in exactly what way? So the news emerged a few days ago that the war cabinet minister, Benny Gantz, has visited the United States. He's had talks with the Biden regime, and he leads an opposition party that joined Netanyahu's government in an emergency government of national unity, but is also a rival of Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, Gantz did not clear his trip to the U.S. with Netanyahu beforehand. It means that he came here secretly to meet with the Biden regime. So a few days after that intelligence brief that the U.S. intelligence community sent out, there was another rival of Netanyahu, Gideon Saar. He left Gantz's party, suggesting the possibility of renewed domestic political turmoil. And of course, Chuck Schumer delivered that speech out of nowhere, demanding new elections in Israel. Joe Biden and the United Nations just had that vote on supporting Israel. Obviously, the United States abstained from that vote, basically saying that the current regime has wants nothing to do with Israel because they're courting the Muslim vote back here. I also want to say this. I don't think that any of these moves by the people currently in Washington, D.C. have anything to do with the rule of law or ensuring that war doesn't break out or ensuring that people don't die at the end of the day. These are all carefully crafted political considerations to ensure their own survival. Has nothing to do with innocent people dying in the streets, Palestinian, Jewish, or otherwise. They don't care if those people die. They don't care about the people who died on October 7th. They don't care about the Palestinians who have died in the aftermath of all of that. In Israel, you have an issue, the drafting of ultra-Orthodox men into the IDF. It's a political issue because they are pacifists. They don't want to fight. But the left-wing judiciary says that the religious scholars could no longer be exempted from the draft. So the left-wing judiciary is largely secular Jews. Obviously, the Hasidic Jews, the ultra-Orthodox Jews, those are the ones who are like very religious and they follow all of these rules and everything. But it's the secular Jews that make up mostly what I would consider to be the Israeli deep state. You still have problems in the ultra-Orthodox community. You got people trying to bring back the Jewish Messiah, which a lot of people see as the Antichrist himself. Now, hostages have still not been released. You got protests. You've also got left-wing political protests that are beginning to merge with these hostage protests. And last week, there was a four-day protest that persisted, not just in Tel Aviv, but also in Jerusalem. You had tens of thousands of Israelis, all of them demonstrating outside of Netanyahu's office. They also set up a tent city, which you can see in this photograph right here, basically setting up permanent shop outside to protest. Think about the summer of 2020 here in America, the color revolution to remove Donald Trump. That was a large portion of it. So now they're holding protests to congratulate each other on the efforts they've made to get rid of Benjamin Netanyahu. And this tent city shows that former Prime Minister Ehud Barak, who was a leader in last year's protests, has also been calling for Israelis to besiege the Knesset or the parliament. And he gave a speech there demanding elections now. Let me also say to you, former Prime Minister Ehud Barak, do you remember his name? This is not some guy who is selflessly fighting for the rights of Palestinians or Jews. He's not trying to bring about peace to the country. Ehud Barak should be memorable to you because he was a close associate of Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein. So Ehud Barak, visitor to Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island, visitor to Jeffrey Epstein's Manhattan brownstone, is one of the people who was calling for regime change in Israel. I know nothing about Bibi Netanyahu's proclivities in the bedroom or otherwise, but I can tell you that if Ehud Barak is aligned with the people who are asking for a change of government, I don't think it's anything good for anyone. Q Patriot Angel says, no point of editing Coffeegate out, Zach. You know John has already archived it. Great show. See you tomorrow night. Excellent. I'll see you tomorrow night, too. Yes, yes. So this is a very complicated political issue. And my only point in pointing all of this stuff out is that I don't think it's as simple as suggesting, this is it, saving Israel for last, or, you know, Joe Biden is standing up to Bibi Netanyahu. No, this is different flavors of the same deep state that are vying for power in the farthest reaches of governments all around the world. Let's see. Continuing on, Israeli is now facing growing threats, not only from Hamas, but also Hezbollah. You've got militias that are basically setting up shop all around. Iran is paying for this. Joe Biden is financing Iran and these other groups. And now Joe Biden has been caught red-handed with his four-part plan to overthrow Netanyahu. So I mentioned that there is a whistleblower. Let's take a look at this. This is coming from an article that was written by Carolyn Glick. She's a Jewish News Syndicate columnist. And she shows these messages from an activist by the name of Ami Daror. Now, based on what he referred to as a conversation with his contacts in the White House, Daror set out in granular detail the White House's four-part plan to overthrow the government. The government, the current government of the United States, which is being run by Joe Biden, has a four-part plan that has already been implemented to overthrow Benjamin Netanyahu, who was elected by the people of Israel, no matter what you think of the system they have over there. And the components involved actions on the ground in Gaza, the use of the UN Security Council, extortion of government ministers, and mass protests. Let's talk about each of these. Government ministers in Israel are receiving messages from, quote, American friends that they will be accused of war crimes. That has been beating the drums here in American deep state fake news media for some time, talking about war crimes. This would be an excuse for seizing control over the territory from Israel. So they would take this territory and then they would set it up for the Palestinians, I guess. This is an excuse for seizing control of the territory, also parachuting food continuously, including by the German military, and also building a port. Most importantly, if the United States is able to successfully gain control of that landmass and take it away from the Israeli government, that's going to put whoever is in charge of that government at that time in a position of financial superiority. Because if they build a port on this land, which now becomes Palestinian land, they're not doing it for the Palestinian people. They're not doing it for freedom and liberty. They're doing it because it would be a massive infrastructure project that would result in guaranteed financial benefits to whomever it is that controls it. We've already talked about the Ben Gurion Canal that the Israelis are talking about building. They got to get the Palestinians out if they're going to do that. Well, if somebody in the deep state gets control of Gaza and they're able to kick the Jews out, they're going to build their own port, and it's them who's going to profit off of it. So the words potential indictment for all members of the government of destruction is the clincher. So how would that work? There are many members of the government that don't want to lose their physical or economic freedom. They would sell everybody out just to maintain that. The immediate targets are billionaire economy minister Neer. Get rid of the billionaires, take the money, and then turn everybody into communists. They would freeze their assets, turning the millionaire into a wanted man. And the Haredi parties, I don't know what those are, they and their communities worldwide have many properties, stuff for people to seize. Ministers and the government would then become potential fugitives if they don't enable the formation of a government without Kahanists. Don't be surprised if Shas party leader Ari Dery, these must be all different political parties, brought down the government soon, and the Haredi draft is just an excuse. Their Haredi cronies in America don't want to get in trouble with Uncle Sam. Most important thing, U.S. and the Biden, President Biden's request from us. The American method of dealing with misbehaving states, including the destruction, economic and legal, that is centered on the leadership on the one hand and driving a wedge between the nation and the leadership on the other. In the case of Israel, for that to work, the nation of Israel must show in the streets, as they have been, that it is fighting with leadership. The American admin needs to see the nation in Israel fighting with the government of Israel. And that's exactly what's happening right now. So these text messages are from March 17th. This is just a few days before Chuck Schumer said that we need new elections and get rid of Netanyahu. And then a couple of days later, we had the Biden regime taking that extraordinary step at the United Nations to allow the Security Council to pass what was accepted as Hamas's terms, asking for the ceasefire, then the hostage release. They isolated Israel. They didn't want them to be a part of it. They're basically just telling them this is how it's going to go. And a couple days before that is when you had Benny Gantz, the rival to Netanyahu, who is currently serving alongside him in that emergency government, making a secret visit to the White House. Now, they are all working to destabilize the current regime in Israel. And then, of course, what would they do? They would install their own regime that is sympathetic to what they want. And then once Donald Trump returns, well, then they have one more country that would be allied against him. Now, Gantz has also seized on the opportunity to exploit the humanitarian crisis, to also exploit the killed aid workers that were just blown up in a missile attack. That was such a bad move, and it looks terrible for Israel. But who's the one who actually hit the button? Who's the one who actually made the decision? I don't know. Definitely don't know. Now, Netanyahu and his government are facing these internal disagreements over the drafting of those ultra-Orthodox Jews, and you have the never-ending protests that are taking place. But U.S. intelligence. U.S. intelligence is deeply involved in this whole process. I don't think we've had a color revolution in any nation where the CIA wasn't directly involved. They're looking to overthrow Netanyahu. They're looking to install Benny Gantz. And then they're hoping to take over the economic and political situation there as well. So a color revolution that the Biden regime is orchestrating, and the clear winners in that situation would be the power-hungry Israeli deep state that is aligned with the CIA and, of course, the current Biden regime. And the major winners – excuse me, and the major losers – would be the people of both of those nations. Those people would not be the ones to benefit at all. And I think that this is not going to end well for anyone. Think about how many times the United States has destabilized a region in the world instead of allowing them to figure it out on their own. I can't think of a single country where the U.S. was involved in overthrowing a leader, elected or not, that didn't end up in utter chaos, many, many years of bloodshed, war, and ongoing military actions. And of course, you know what else it does, guys? When there is a major destabilization of a country, it's the perfect opportunity to set up new rat lines. Perfect opportunity to engage in renewed efforts of human trafficking, drug trafficking, and weapons trafficking. It's a perfect opportunity for the deep state intelligence community to set up shop, a base of operations, so that they can go ahead and operate outside of the boundaries of American law and do whatever it is they want to do. So that's what we should be on the lookout for. That's what we should be on the lookout for, is increased levels of criminality and exploitation of resources and people, because that's exactly what will happen if they're successful in doing this. I'm not saying I like Benjamin Netanyahu, but what I don't like is the CIA coming in and deciding the direction of any nation on earth, America or otherwise. All right. Let's see. So I just want to say thank you to Zeta Anon. Good to see you, buddy. He says, as always, just rub some fucking dirt in it. It's probably it's definitely better than putting a Band-Aid on it at this point. Boys Blanc, thank you for the cookie. Appreciate you. Zeta Anon says, one of my eighth grade students was crying and asked me for a Clorox wipe to wipe her nose, to wipe her running makeup. I was like, oh yeah, you don't want to do Clorox wipes. That's awful. Nikaz 808, thank you for the shades. Zeta Anon also says, for the love of it, forever kicking ass, RP. All right. Thank you so much, man. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you also to, everybody who donated over there on Rumble. I really do appreciate it, guys. Let me just make sure I'm not missing anything over here on my phone. Nathan, I thanked you at the end of the show the other day. So he said, you make it look easy, RP, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Nathan. Thank you. My tongue is killing me. I need to stop talking for the rest of the day. And I need to go get some wax on my way out of town. I got to drive to Venice tonight because we got early morning hours getting set up. And then I got to get my table set up. I got to start with interviews and stuff. All right, you guys. So let's go ahead. Oh, one more request, please, if you wouldn't mind. If we can just get a couple of more likes. We have about 3,700 people here on Rumble right now and 914 likes, 7 dislikes. Looks like Earl Bills. Earl Bales says Islam is the first and final religion. Sorry if you're a Christian or Jewish, you are out of luck. Time to learn Arabic and convert before it's too late. Sorry, bud. I'm not going to be doing that. And I would argue that Islam is not the first religion at all. All right. So, that will be all. We're going to go ahead and pass out these gold pills. Oh, thank you to Jay Frady, 3745. Thank you for all you do. You are one of the most genuine podcasters, digital warriors out there. Listening to you always makes my day better. Well, thank you very, very much, man. It warms my heart to know that. And I hope that you guys appreciate my insight and my commentary on these issues. I also hope that I might see you guys tomorrow in Venice. And if I don't see you tomorrow in Venice, then maybe I'll see you at GART, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks in Dallas. So thank you, everybody. Love you. Appreciate you. Good luck. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep your eyes open for the stream notification. It's probably going to come out early morning. And as soon as I put it out there, I'll just be streaming all day. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye.